Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
What's going on, everybody? When I say everybody, probably nobody yet.
Not yet.
But we're going to have a record viewership because I think my mom said she's in. So
yes.
Hi, Karen. Dan, it's great to see you, man.
Hey, buddy. It's great to see you. Happy 2024.
Absolutely. Happy 2024. We made it. How was your New Year's? Did you do anything fun?
Not really. Had a friend and her boyfriend in town. They live in London now. So they made a 2-week trip to Florida. They came over to Tampa for a few days, hung out with us for an evening. Didn't do too much. We're in downtown Tampa. So just fireworks and all that. Just getting a little old for New Year's.
Jackie and I went out to dinner, early dinner, 6 o'clock dinner. It's great. Old people really got it right.
Going on, yeah. They figured
especially
it out.
In Florida, I feel like all restaurants open up at 3 for old people to start eating.
Yeah, and that's right, the Blue Plate special.
Yeah, and then we literally went to a low-key bar. Have I taken you to Urban Cowboy yet?
I don't think so.
I need to take you to Urban Cowboy next time you're in town. Sure. It's all outside, fire pits, super great vibe.
Yeah.
We went there. Cool. I was in bed by 10, and I was in REM by 10:30. So
there you go. Congratulations. Well, happy new year, buddy.
Hey, it's the first.
We did it. Just another day, right? Just another revolution around the sun.
Absolutely. Steve, it's good to see you. Good luck with the winter storm. We're going to have a winter storm.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to have a winter storm, Steven? I didn't know about that.
Yeah. I think there's something come through the whole United States.
Yeah. I think I see some precipitation on Saturday, but I think that's it. Yeah. Steven, I think we'll be good, man. We don't get any fun snow here. Steven, speaking
except
of getting
for old, that one time.
That was crazy. Yeah. Was that was Vacology.
Yeah, no, it was ETW.
7 inches or ETW.
Yeah.
That was nuts. We did an English New Year, 7 p.m. ball drop at the local pub, PJ's by 9.
Yeah.
We're getting old,
y'all.
I had
some friends of mine that did the Irish one. And same general idea.
I love that.
The ball drop at 7, and then they were, in bed. I don't think they were in bed, but, anyway.
Yeah. Valerie, it's good to see you. Look, we got some people tuning in. Michael, it's good to see you as well. Alex, great to see you. Yeah, Saturday, ice snow. Yeah. Steven, we're kind of so Dan, I don't know if I've talked about this. Kind of my other job I would like to do if recruiting never worked out was be a weatherman. I just love the weather. I'm kind of known in my family as all right, if we're traveling, ask Taylor what the weather is. So Steven, because of where we're positioned, that the system usually gains steam past Nashville and then dumps everything in Appalachia, North Carolina. So we rarely get that snow. The system we get has to come from Alabama up through Cincinnati. Mm. All right. End of the year recap. Dan and I are going to chit chat today. We're going to go over startups, kind of our favorite startups, and kind of just recap who we've talked to this year and really kind of our favorites, AKA probably the most promising startups that we spoke to. So Dan, let's dive into it, man. I'm going to be honest. I have this list and I can't even remember because obviously I moved jobs from Vaco to Gunn in July. So I've lost all my data from previous July. So I don't know which ones we actually started with. So I'm just going to kind of go with my gut here. I think our very first one of the year was Spot AI. Spot AI, they did, we had a lot to get through. So just quick thoughts, Spot AI, they're the ones that did surveillance camera. Kelly Vaughn works there, but then we interviewed, talked about basically they're mainly used for car washes, places where there's not a lot of people, but they need very analytical software to collect the data of everything that's happening. I think.
Yeah, no, Kelly Vaughn's obviously a great friend of the program here. I thought it was great. I know that we were talking about maybe some drive-thrus. I know that you mentioned Chick-fil-A, and she kind of put the kibosh on you talking more about that.
Yeah, we basically called it out, and she was like, yes, but don't say that.
Yeah. I'm fascinated to see how that works. One of the things that I've learned recently is that a lot of private equity firms are getting into car washes, right? Because they want to buy the land, then hold, and they can build a car wash. There's, obviously your maintenance and your chemicals and stuff, but pretty low labor, pretty high profit margin in that as well. So in that world, they're getting a lot more into that. So I'd be curious to see, how they continue to do. But anything that Kelly Vaughn is behind, I'm in favor of.
Yeah, seriously, same. All right, next one. Hold on. Spot AI. All right, outlier. So our boy Evan.
Yeah.
He's pivoted sports betting. He's more of a facilitator, as I would say.
Yeah, he's not doing sports betting per se. They'll let you tie into sports books, if you want to, but they're a data aggregator for all things sports betting, as well as it doing a little bit more than just kind of your traditional sports betting information gathering website. So you can look, for instance, the last 10 times the Jazz have played the Miami Heat, right? And what were those results? And you can look back a little bit more historic. Now, obviously, from ColorCast, kind of this announcing during the game, kind of like when that one, what was that called? That app where you just talked and had rooms in it. You were on it for a little while.
Clubhouse.
It was similar to Clubhouse for sports. They pivoted because Clubhouse died. It seems like they're doing really, really well. Talk to Evan occasionally about, where they're at as a business. They're growing. They're winning awards. So shout out to Evan.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, as somebody who doesn't bet, I think a company like Outlier, is very useful for people like myself who needs the help, needs the guidance to bet. All right. Viro, short for environment. Don't remember if you remember Nick Arbuckle mm-hmm. and a startup. Viro are basically trying it really. I think his slant, and Nick, if you watch this in the future and I'm misquoting, please correct me, but I think really his pitch is to help companies be more sustainable from an environment perspective. I know Vaco has some sort of certification like that. They're like some like in their new building in Nashville. It's like there's something certified, which is kind of in the same vein. So I've kept up with him on LinkedIn. It seems like he's done a recent release. I guess my biggest concern with Viro is that it's come down as a mobile app, but I think is because he's like trying to get people to recycle and keep track of stuff. I just think he probably needs to just target businesses. I don't think it's necessarily a mobile app. Long-term, that's going to be a solution. I think it's going to be maybe an enterprise piece of software where a Vaco could purchase it, checklist, make sure they're compliant, go through the steps. But that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I know some of the ESG push has been kind of taking a backseat over the last few years. But there's certainly a lot of companies that I think care about that footprint. I think, for your large, huge, monolithic companies, they probably have entire departments that focus on this kind of stuff for like SEC reporting and all of that. But small, mid-sized companies that are looking to track that, care about that part of social good environment, be able to pump out some interesting stuff. I think it's great. I do remember the pivot, it was an app and you could track and you could, game with your friends about, how much did you save and what was your impact. But no, I would 100% agree. I'd be curious to see, where that pivot is and maybe we can talk to them this year.
Yeah, that'd
be cool.
That
pivot is for them.
I love that. All right. Next up, my boy Shane Snipeman and Strum. Do you remember Strum? Basically, they're trying to be the Calendly for venues and artists.
Yeah.
He's having problems. I mean, I've caught up with him recently. He and I have become actually really good friends after our show, believe it or not. Cool. And his wife has a creative studio right next to Gun.io. So we've caught up a little bit. He said he's been struggling just to get adoption just because it's the music industry, but I think it's a great idea. It's just the music industry is just terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's a chicken and the egg problem, right? Chicken and the egg problem, right? Like you need artists on the platform to be able to book, and then artists are only going to go on there if there's a place to go and book. So I don't know what the catch is for him to get the hook, I guess is what I mean, to get the hook to get either one or the other. Because if you don't have adoption by one, you're not going to have adoption by the other. So I'd be curious to see if they've done any pivoting or kind of what their next direction is. And I know that they wanted to go big, or small. But again, I just don't know. I think we talked about it at the show. It's just the viability of trying to get hundreds of artists or thousands of artists. And I know that they were only targeting like Nashville at the time, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So, if it's having problems in Nashville, maybe it's too.
Yeah. Can't go anywhere else. So, but
for him.
Yeah, but Shane, I mean, I if you watch this, and again, I truly believe in the product. I just think you're trying to get these sticky floor bars who use pen and paper for the last 7 years to try to use a piece of software. And that's a hard transition. OpenSauced. Love Brian Douglas. OpenSauced was the startup that basically is trying to put more effort into displays around GitHub, but not displays, but like basically trying to tell better stories than just the green boxes on GitHub. I know Brian sent me an email actually after our show, Dan, a few weeks later, that he released kind of a recruiter function where people can actually search in the OpenSauced database. Oh, cool. Be able to find developers and their activity in GitHub. So again, I think, you know, basically OpenSauce is trying to push basically data and search for candidates and within the open source space, which I think is, okay. I think is definitely needed. I think anything around talent, I'm a big fan of. Obviously, Dan, you are too.
Yeah, and it's so hard to measure talent. You know, right now everybody's having troubles with it. You know, certainly maybe not the same way a year and a half ago and everything was just at lightning speed, but anything that, you know, recruiters can use to be able to add more to the picture, right? You know, I don't think anybody thinks, hey, here's somebody's GitHub, go hire this person based off that, but they're talking points, right? Yeah. So I'd be curious to see where that's grown since
then. Yeah, well, I think Brian's a good one to get back on the show mid-year, just because I really love him. And he and his team are putting out some pretty cool content. He does basically podcast-style interviews at pizza shops. It's brilliant.
Sick. Love it. Love so pizza. Good.
Sense Community. This is Matthew Lee. This is a Chatty Cathy Discord server connection with group chat. You know, he basically is trying to build a product that keeps track of wait times at bars and clubs, so you know where to go to. I think it's an aggressive idea. I think it's probably very difficult. I haven't really kept up with him afterwards. I think it's a good idea in theory. But I'm curious how to continually get real-time data from folks at places. But I like the idea.
Yeah.
I hate waiting in
line. No, I thought the idea was an idea, right? I think that, you know, still the business and the adoption is big that they have to deal with. And I know that he was, you know, trying to say about socializing and where are people of the opposite sex, you know, going to be. But I do think that it's such a moving number. And oftentimes it's not just a moving number because it's the hottest place to be, is because there's usually like fire codes and other reasons why that line might be long, right? Or something else going on or an event letting out. So I think at the time we were just very, very like optimistic that there was more of a business idea, because you want to draw people, you know, to your club. But if the line is 45 minutes long and you're not necessarily in, you know, a place where there's a ton of bars, you don't necessarily want to dissuade people, from coming in and saying, hey, like, yeah, it's worth the wait to come in, right? So I think that there's still a little bit of an adoption issue there, you know, as bars and restaurants are not trying to dissuade people from coming in. But.
Yeah. All right, our friends at Neural Payments, Daniel Norton, Mick Oppie, going head-to-head against Zelle. You know, it's interesting. I'm interested in your thoughts on this. There's a lot of people we talk to that's a really good idea. And then there's people we talk to that have a really good business. Neural Payments, I think, is both. Trying to take over Zelle, since Zelle is the main, basically, money transfer within banks. And also they just raised their Series A earlier this year. They're actually getting revenue. We followed these guys. They were on the show last year too, so I brought them back on. So Dan, curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I know that they were really trying to target the credit union industry, which is an industry that I'm very familiar with, got a lot of clients in the space. So incredible guys, very, very smart, have a great business idea. And I think they raised a ton of money, didn't they? Well, you know, that's a lot of money. So you know, best of luck to them. I know that the credit union space and banking in general is just, you know, highly regulated, it's slow. It's just a little bit antiquated, but I know that they're trying to make real-time payments happen. So I'm going to keep rooting for them. But, you know, I think of all the people that we have on the show from a business perspective, like you said, Taylor, they knock it out of the park.
Yeah, agreed. Epic Web Dev, our boy Kent Dodds. Ken Dodds originally came on the show with Remix last year. Remix, for those of you, they sold to Shopify or Spotify. I think Shopify. Yep. And then so Kent moved on. Actually, I was bringing back Kent on. I was bringing Kent back on to talk about Dan. Where'd you go?
I'm here.
Okay. I was bringing Kent back on to talk about Remix, but he was like, actually, I left Remix, and now I'm starting my own thing. So Epic Web Dev, essentially, what he's trying to do is a completely online boot camp for junior devs. At least that's the way I understood it. I think Kent's brilliant. I know a lot of people follow Kent. Kent's got a huge cult-like following. So I'm a fan. Again, this is a little different, right? It's different than Neural Payments. But again, I think Kent and what he's trying to accomplish to create all these courses himself is a huge undertaking.
Yeah, no, and obviously the world desperately needs help. And what I hope for, Taylor, and this is kind of related but tangentially not, is that I hope programs like this and courses like this really do allow for folks that are looking to ramp up into software development careers and get this kind of practical experience to be able to allow them to get jobs. Because I know that it's still very, very hard for a junior web dev that didn't maybe graduate from college with a computer science, computer engineering degree to be able to get those jobs. So I hope that courses like this and other programs that are out there, because it seems like a lot of the boot camps have kind of faded away. I know that there's still a few. I hope that they're able to be sustainable and, you know, really focus on, you know, now how do we build partnerships with companies to be able to say, hey, this curriculum is really good. The skills that you're learning here are practical. You know, if there's internship opportunities or junior web dev opportunities, I want to make sure that there's that pathway, right? And right now, I know that pathway is still really hard.
Yep, agreed. All right, moving on. Bounty. So Bounty was Aaron Decker. It's so funny. If my wife watched this show, she'd be like, you can remember all of these fuckers, but you can't remember something I told you yesterday. Yes, that's how that works. So Bounty, Aaron Decker, they were trying to basically create a marketplace for brands to connect with content creators. Mm. And, you know, I think this is a slippery slope. I haven't really touched base with him to see how he's doing after our show. You know, I know we were going to try basically. So like, for example, if we were going to put our coffee mugs, it's also merch too, I think. So I was talking to him about like putting our coffee mugs up, like in his point of sale, and then people can purchase it. So I think it's kind of this little bit of a marketplace. I think it's a great idea, but again, I'm curious execution wise, where he's gone this year.
Yeah. And I'd be curious too. I don't know if I totally remember, or I might not have been here for that one.
True.
I think you were. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was. The whole industry is still very hard and to be able to connect. And I think, you know, at the time we were really trying to figure out what the marketplace looked like, pricing out the marketplace. Sorry, I just don't remember the product as well. So.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Azra AI. All right. So again, we're talking about businesses versus ideas. I would say Neural Payments and Azra are probably the most budding businesses that you need to keep an eye out moving forward. We had Cashwell Caldwell on the show, CEO. Basically, they are using AI to detect and save money, I believe for surgeries or something like, let me see. It's a really good idea. I can't remember all of them. Yeah, AI power technology to identify and better treat cancer patients. SaaS solutions for oncology workflow optimization specialization. I know they've won a bunch of awards this year in Nashville. And I was very impressed with Chris. I think this is great. And I can't remember exactly, but there was something about our conversation that we were like, oh yeah, this is really, really good.
Yeah, no. And I know that that's a world where cancer diagnosis and everything else is really focusing a lot on AI. Pardon me. And yep. I think that they were ahead of the game when it came to adoption and being able to work. And obviously, there's a lot of regulation, a lot of hoops to jump through. You know, hospitals are both cutting edge and antiquated at the same time. A lot of doctors are, you know, they've done certain things certain ways for their entire career. That's why they are where they are, you know, in their career. So adoption of anything new, you know, certainly a challenge. But I do think, and I do remember that from a business perspective, they were one of the people that we had the highest hopes for on on overall money that they're going to be able to generate just because they were so far ahead of the game. So they're going to be a huge one to watch.
Yeah, 100%. Actually, my buddy who got us in touch with Chris won Data Science of the Year in Nashville. So that's really, really cool. Mitch Naylor, good job, buddy. All right, next one, Jinx Drink. So
Jinx,
we kind of got into a little direct-to-consumer brands on the show, which I don't hate. Yeah. I don't hate. It's definitely a good little right turn, and it makes things a little bit more interesting. Jinx Drinks, basically adult Capri Suns in prepackaged Capri Sun pouches, essentially, to keep up with how much you're drinking, especially in the college crowd, to make sure you're not, you know, roofied. You know, the founder, I forgot his name. He talked just about how hard it was to kind of get this stuff into stores. I think it's a great idea.
CPG is hard, right? Yeah. You know, we talked about festivals, music festivals, sporting events, concert halls, or concert venues, where it's a lot easier to hold, you know, a carton of something that has a top than it is to just walk around with a drink. I think at the time they were only in Southern California, looking to grow. You know, a lot of this stuff, unless you're like a Liquid Death and you get a huge sponsorship from or investment by Live Nation, always is going to take a little bit of time. But I think that the idea of it was awesome. You know, there's another pouch drink out there that I'm forgetting the name of right now, but they're starting to become popular. I think for them, it's just a matter of finding the right person to buy, to distribute, then to buy, and then to hopefully grow from there. But I remember the product is super cool, and I think, you know, very, very important for, you know, the alcohol drinkers.
Yep, 100%. All right, Teaming, Kate O'Neill and Teaming. Teaming, Dan, kind of like Work Dove at Vaco. I know when I was at Vaco, Alex Nadell and the Nashville team was actually going to experiment with Teaming for a little bit. Basically a one-stop shop for reviews, collaboration. Basically what Kate and her team are trying to do is make remote work closer and make it feel, you know, like there's more collaboration. So again, I'm a big fan. I've kept up with Kate. She's pretty active on LinkedIn. It seems like they're crushing it in hiring, which is obviously a great sign.
Awesome. Yeah, no, Teaming's great. They had a great product, loved what they were trying to do. And, you know, performance reviews are something that we, as a society, have struggled with figuring out how to make them collaborative and something that you work with somebody on, not just, you know, top down approach of doing performance reviews. I don't like doing them. I know it's part of my job and, you know, managing my team, but it just seems so backward thinking oftentimes, right? Like, hey, how did you do this quarter or this year? Well, you know, are we talking about things that, you know, happened 20 weeks ago? Or are we having things that are happening in the last, you know, week or two or three to be able to really collaborate? And I know a lot of people hate doing performance reviews because, you know, unless you're a rock star, you have to be inward thinking. And sometimes it can be hard when you look back 13 weeks ago or 26 weeks ago.
Yeah. I think I just pulled up their website because I really do like them. I want to make sure I do them justice. So it's kind of like two sides of this, right? Mm-hmm. So you capture team inputs, meeting notes, task, disc assessments, goals, performance. And then the other side is, you know, deliver critical results, team leadership strategy, culture, engagement, and ranking of performance teams. It looks like they're used by Rocket Mortgage. It looks like they're used by Square. So big clients. Again, I think it's great. And I think there's a need for internal HR type stuff like this to look good and clean, like good UI UX, because this is typically a industry that's mired in bad UI UX. So teaming, just based off their website, looks like it's doing it in a very Apple-esque, which I think is needed. All right, what is next? Trying to move through these teaming. All right, Grazi. Hold on, let me pull it. So Grazi was, I really want to have them back on. They were doing the whole tip thing for people, like service workers. So if you didn't have any cash on you, you can leave a tip. With all the travel I did with conferences this past year, I never carried cash. And so it's like, when I have to value my car, I'm like, sorry, right? So. Yeah. And they're fixing this. I'm a big fan of this. I really want to get these folks back on because I'm just a big fan of that. This may be, maybe we're not there yet to give our favorites. This may be, I think, one of my favorites.
Yeah, no, I think I remember, and obviously tipping is everywhere now.
Yeah, I literally tipped yesterday.
Tipping fatigue.
Ridiculous thing.
Yeah, I've got a little tipping fatigue right now, but you know, you're exactly right, Taylor. And there's oftentimes you don't want to make, I'm guilty of this. Maybe other people don't have this guilt. If I want to give a tip to somebody, I want to give them like $2, but I have like a $20 bill on me. I'm going to be like, hey, can I have $18 back? Right. I'm like, it's a lot. Then we're sitting there counting out cash. That's and then awkward. Do they think I'm cheap? Right. Like, is there something that I can do? You know, that if tipping is going to be this effervescent in our society now, let's make it a little bit easier. So no, I totally remember that. And, but yeah, man, I do have tipping fatigue, unrelated.
Well, I know. I was literally picking up something where there was no service done and there was still a like tipping option. And what did I do? I tipped the lowest amount. So they still got a dollar off of me. So
yeah, we got to figure out how to do tipping differently too.
Right. Like I had to come
like
in.
What if I don't want to tip at the beginning? What if I want to tip at the end?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you haven't even made my drink, Starbucks. How do I know I want to give you a tip? Maybe I want to give you an extra tip. Maybe it was really good. You know, I don't know how you do that though. You can't.
Exactly. Elixir Kombucha, another CPG brand. I was in Louisville this past week and they're all over the place. They're based in Louisville. So congrats to Elixir. It was really cool when you have somebody on your show and you see their product in stores. they're all over Bowling Green, Kentucky. They're all over Louisville. They're from Louisville. They sent us some kombucha. They sent me some kombucha at least.
Yep. They sent me.
And I'm not a big kombucha fan, but it definitely was the best kombucha I've had. A little sweeter, which is my only gripe, which is why it was good because it hid the kind of the sour kombucha, but I think it was still pretty good.
Yeah, no, kombucha is just not my thing. I know Brooke drank it. She liked it. No, I mean, it's just, you know, flavor profiles, right? Yep. So I know Brooke really liked it. I know that was one of the most interesting and fascinating conversations because I knew nothing about kombucha before.
It was crazy. So they use like certain water in Louisville because of limestone and it tastes certain. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. Shout out to them. It's like Fiji water.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Combo Curve. All right. So Combo Curve is, I don't super remember. Let me look them up. I do know it was a piece of software for like the oil industry. And again,
I believe it tracked
data and analytics, creates forecasts.
Yeah, they were doing it on potential land, what could be there for development, for holding for leases, things of that nature. It was super, super in depth about more of the idea for oil production and getting it out of the ground rather than a company that I'm familiar with that kind of tracks leakage and flow. So
basically on their website, it's see how your team can go from forecast to economics in minutes with Energy's fastest analysis engine. So it's anything around the energy space, oil, gas. This is obviously something that's not in my neck of the woods. I can't really speak to it at all. You know, there's a quote on their site with this case study from a company called EQT. Before Combo Curve, it took us 4 days to book reserves. Now it takes us 4 hours.
Yeah,
so
incredible. Yeah, I remember the stuff that they were doing was great.
Yep. Next one is going to be Tixology. Tixology doing some really cool stuff. That was Asher Weiss. In the ticketing space using blockchain. I think blockchain is an overused term, especially when it comes to using it in business. But I think when it comes to ticketing, I think blockchain makes the most sense. I know he's caught a lot of steam with his business. Good. People are using him. So again, I'm not a big ticketing background person. I'd be interested to talk to my brother since he worked at Ticketmaster and now Eventbrite, see his thoughts on this. But I think it makes sense. You know, he started talking about doing these like NFTs when it comes to like using, like going to an event. If you went to a Taylor Swift event, you could have a Taylor Swift memorabilia thing.
Let's cut out the NFTs. No, and I think the music industry ticketing in general is such a ripe for disruption. It's just so hard right now because Live Nation owns the largest ticketing website and many of the venues that anybody would want to perform at. But if we could figure out a way to disrupt them and get Ticketmaster out of here, will be the day that I know that I drink a very nice bottle of wine.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Dan, are you okay to get through these last little bit?
Yeah.
All right. So no commerce, Jeremiah
Pruner. Yeah.
Basically, just a survey engine for people when they buy something. Like, did you like the product? I actually bought a piece of clothing from a new brand I like called Minted New York. They used a piece of software called Trustpilot. Mm-hmm. I got an automated email. How'd you like the product? Rate it 1 to 5 stars. What did you like about it? I think no commerce is just like that. It's just something that your business can purchase. You can create surveys, collect the data. I believe they are crushing it because Jeremiah, from what I believe, came from Shopify. Let me look that up to make sure.
He did. And no commerce is growing like crazy. He posts a lot on LinkedIn. So I see a lot of what they're doing, their growth and everything that they've accomplished. So shout out to Jeremiah and his team over there. But I think that the amount of surveys that they're getting out, the number of clients that they're bringing in and everything else is huge. I think the one thing that we talked about is just survey fatigue, right? It's like tipping fatigue, but for everything, yeah, you're getting surveys now. So how do you make it palatable for somebody to want to take, even if it takes 30 seconds of your time, how do we make it worthwhile for that 30 seconds? And what kind of information can you glean from it?
Absolutely. WonderGraph, our guy, Stefan, mm-hmm, from Miami, believe it or not, they got business from our podcast, which is pretty tight. He said they were able to close a client because of the interest from our podcast, which is what we love to hear. Listen, I don't know about APIs. So no, this was super nerdy, but it sounds like people like it. So good job, man. Again, I don't
shout out to them.
If you could hold a gun to my head right now and ask me to describe what WonderGraph was, could not do it. And that's not Steven's fault. Yeah. That's just because I'm not technical. Yeah. All right. Next thing. So again, if we're talking about idea versus business, I think a great idea, I think it's a quick add-on, Calendaristic with mm-hmm, Brian Daly here in Nashville. Yeah. We're going to have him on the on my other show with just Nashville-based startups. But I think really cool, keeps track of your meetings, data analytics, how many meetings you have in your organization, how long, how many, how often. I think it's a great idea. I don't know if this is necessarily something that's going to be a multi-million dollar business, but I think it could be a pretty good little side revenue for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think that they are tracking beyond just how much time did you spend in meetings, what kind of value did those meetings provide for the individual, and what kind of people were on those meetings? Do they have to be, you know, on those meetings? Are we wasting our time as professional meeting goers? Are we getting the job done? I know that that's kind of what he felt like his job was, and I believe he was a CIO or CTO of somewhere. So his job was going to a lot of meetings, but being able to track, you know, the efficiencies of those meetings and everything else. I think that he kind of agreed that it's probably a bolt-on, tack-on to something. And I think he said, hey, if it is cool, I'll just go focus on something else. So
yeah, exactly. Whisper Arrow. Dan, were you on this one?
I don't believe so.
So they're basically developing the next generation of quiet jet. It starts with a P. I don't know how to pronounce it. Jet engines, basically. But like, okay, they just came out with a quiet leaf blower.
That's incredible.
So basically the thought is to branch out to drones because drones are really loud. So it's like basically noise pollution is something that they're trying to fix. Sure. And I thought about it. Like, I was like, well, why would anybody want to buy a quiet leaf blower? But then I thought of all the people in like apartments or stuff like that, where you could like, you know, in my opinion, they're trying to be like a next Dyson creating mm-hmm, this like engine technology. Instead of obviously wind technology like Dyson, engine technology that can be used across the board, which I think is fascinating. They've gotten a ton of investment already too.
Good. Yeah. I think it's just noisy in general, right? Like the leaf blowers are really, really loud, even if
so
like
loud,
they're yours, right? So and loud. Then they're loud for the people that you live around and everything else. So yeah, I mean, anything we can do to cut out some of it, because nobody wants to hear that noise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not usually for like a minute. It's like 10.
It's like 15, it's like 6 a.m. and your dad starts to leaf blow, and you're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
That was good, Dan. Farm Grub. I'm a big fan of this. Basically, Instacart. Were you on this one with Wade Austin?
Yep.
Instacart for small farms. I think it's great. I'm a big fan of this.
Same. I know that they're focused on, you know, the greater Tennessee, Eastern Central Tennessee area. Would love to see it in other places as well. There's a lot of farms here in Florida. There's a lot of places. There's a lot of farms all over America. A lot of people don't really realize how many farms there are if they step out of their major metro area. But, you know, being able to buy farms that way, getting it delivered, I loved the business model that they had. I loved their employees. They seemed to take care of them, their employees, and not just make them as, you know, independent contractors as well. They're doing the delivery. So, you know, I hope that they continue to have, you know, sustained success. But, you know, I love the idea. It makes sense for all parties involved.
Yep. Zulu networking app. We had him on recently. He actually won Data Science of the Year in Nashville, which is really cool. So we've picked out some good just individual talent on the show, which is awesome. I like this idea, networking app, download it on your phone. Basically, you can like set parameters. Like I like tech, but also like hockey and card games. And basically, if people in the area, you can search. Basically, he's trying to get people to network outside of work, which I'm a big fan of networking. Obviously, you are too. I think you like this idea. It's just adoption, right? How many people can download it? How many people can use it? Because your data is only probably as good as your users. So that's my only thing.
Yeah, I think that that's what they were, you know, still growing. I think that they were just in Nashville, maybe. I know that they were on some college campuses. I think that, you know, anything that we can do, and, you know, apps aren't going away, networking apps aren't going away. I know it's a kind of a somewhat crowded space. I know that he had his own kind of niche in that field as well. So very curious to watch, but, you know, I love the idea that you can be a data scientist interested in, you know, football and interested in craft beer and being able to, you know, put all of those ideas that may not be necessarily always connected together.
All right. Last one before we pick our favorite, Vet Verify. I know you didn't make this one. Basically piece of software located in Nashville that they're trying to sell into veterinarians, clinics, overnight stays for pets, basically to access all of your kennel records instead of having to go to the vet, print out all the records on piece of paper, then take it to your kennel. Here it's like if a kennel has Vet Verify and your vet has Vet Verify, they can share data without you having to print stuff off.
Love that. I know that that's hard for a lot of dog bars.
And what he said, yeah. There's nothing like it. So
good deal. Yeah, big fan.
And they've won a bunch of awards. All right, so that was all the ones we had this year. And again, for those of you who are still watching, thank you, Dan. Do you have a favorite at all based off what we're talking about? Kind of the. Let's do this. Favorite idea and favorite business. Let's do that, because not all the people we've had on had like full fledged businesses. So I still want to give a category for that.
Yeah, I think I love the idea of Strum. I think that for me, as somebody that loves live music, I go to a lot of concerts.
You do.
You know, you're a musician or former musician. I do think that for a lot of places, there is a struggle to get artists and to be able to get new artists, that a lot of times they just stick with who they know because it's easy, right? But being able to go on there and look to say, hey, this is the vibe we want, the type of person we want. And you could be anywhere from a coffee shop to a nightclub and anything in between. So I love the idea of that. I just think that there is a chicken or the egg problem that hopefully they can get solved. And then I think Neural Payments is probably the best business idea. Somebody that, you know, works closely with credit unions, instant pay, trying to modernize the credit union industry. Yep. I love what they're doing. So there's probably both of them.
I love that. I think my favorite idea looking at this, I like Calendaristic just because I'm a big data guy. I love that stuff, especially with having a lot of meetings. So I think probably like my favorite idea that isn't a full-fledged business yet that we've had on, in my opinion, was Calendaristic. I think from just a business perspective, since you picked Neural, I like Neural, but I'm going to pick something else. I just think Azure AI was just super impressive. Azure AI and Grazi are probably my two favorites. And the only reason why I'm picking Azure is just because I think what they're trying to do is very difficult. And I think they're actually pulling it off. I would say those are my two favorite businesses.
Yeah, no, I was between Azure and Neural Payments. As somebody that, you know, cancer is hitting very close to home right now. Sure. You know, anything that we can do to try to stay, you know, ahead of that and being able to, you know, look years in advance, right? Because a lot of cancer doesn't obviously happen overnight. It happens, you know, years, and there's genetic things that you can look and track. And so, you know, an incredible business model. I hope that, you know, we just continue to see more adoption and that there's not like a slowdown from a regulatory perspective.
Yep. I love it. I love it. All right, y'all. Well, that's it for today. Dan, it's good to see you, buddy. Stay on real quick so I can say bye to you off air. But y'all have a great one. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Thanks, guys.